When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Thank you so much for being here. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Did you know wanting to secure the border is a political stunt?
Well, of course. Why not?
No.
Let's just start right
here.
Come on.
The Speaker McCarthy made repeatedly on Face the Nation yesterday was that he wants any additional funds for Ukraine tied to congressional action on border security. Is that something that the White House would consider supporting for a vote on Ukraine funding?
So, look, I think the American people are fed up. They're fed up of the political games, the political stunts that House Republicans are doing on our national security and also our government.
We have a crisis at the border. It's an invasion. It's a political stunt wanting to get border security. You know, I don't want to just come on and sound like this dire, oh my goodness, it's end times, blah, blah, blah. Everything you look at, what's happening around us, the lies, the invasion, something's happening in the country. You get the feeling. There's no doubt about it. And I thought this was put really well last night. Tucker Carlson is interviewing Victor Davis Hanson, Hoover Institute.
Yeah, really smart guy.
We've had, you know, clips from him on several times. He is like the, we call him an uncle, a grandfather type, whatever, that's wise, that can see what's going on and put it out there clearly. And, you know, he said something that I'm like, yes, man, preach this.
I think there's one last effort on the part of conservatives. They're going to say, you know what, we're going to speak up as we've never spoken up before. We're going to go after Target. We're going to go after Disney. We're going to say that we're going to go after the three-gender movement, and we're going to try to win this election. We're going to try to win the House. We're going to try to win the representative. We just have to unite behind. And we'll see if that works. I'm really afraid. Everybody says democracy's in danger, but I think if they feel that they have the majority of the people, and I think the majority of the people are against this progressive Jacobin agenda, and they still can't find power, then we're going to be in new territory. We're in new territory now.
Yes, and there is a revolution happening right in front of all of us.
Well,
and you get the sense of it.
There are several people, and I've known them, who are like, well, I just can't do it anymore. I'm just turning it all off. I'm not going to listen anymore. I'm not going to watch anymore. I can't do it anymore. I'm just going to live this life, and this is what I'm going to do, that don't have any idea what's going on. And you got to be engaged. I mean, I know it's difficult for some people to stay engaged, but you have to.
Oh, he talked about that,
Now's
too.
Now's the time.
Yes, he talked about that, too, saying, yeah, a lot of people are just sort of tuning out, and
you don't realize
what's going on in the country. Because, again, man, it's so many different things all within the last few years.
Sometimes again, months, it seems like.
So, yeah, I think there's time to turn it around.
But, boy, we're running out real quick.
Doesn't it seem that way?
I mean, the longer that border is out of control, the harder it's going to be. And it's out of control, and no one wants to admit it in the White House who has any sort of power at all. They dance around it. They gaslight it. They tell us what we're seeing isn't true.
Well, dude. Here's another clip from Green Jean-Pierre talking about, I mean, the lies just every single day about how Biden's doing everything he can on the border.
The president looks at what's happening at the border. He sees a border that is effectively closed.
What I'm saying is that the president, without the help of Republicans, is doing everything that he can to deal with the border. That's what he's been able to do.
Well, let's talk about what he is doing then. Give me the receipts. What do you mean by that? What do you mean he's doing everything he can do? What does that mean?
whenever she does go down the checklist of things that he is doing to get the border under control, it's all things that make it worse. It's all things that incentivize more migration, more people showing up at the southern border.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, being able to work for 18 months in the United States. Or, I don't know, hey, download this app and you're already in the system. You don't have to worry about checking in with anybody and you're free to come on in.
It's
everything is designed to make it easier for somebody to come in through the southern border. And then they get defensive, like, well, what do you mean? We've been doing it. We need comprehensive immigration reform. No, you don't. You need to close the damn border, and you need to start a mass deportation campaign today.
That's it. Something else that Victor Davis Hanson was talking about, it was kind of the end of what he was saying as far as the revolution part, because there is a fear, you know, for some people, you get through this next election, you see what's happening with Trump right now, especially with that scene yesterday in that courtroom. It's a clown car, man.
Wow, man.
It's obvious what's happening.
Wow.
And people are going to get frustrated enough. And then, as he said, we're going to be in a situation we've never been in as a country.
So there are legitimate efforts to rectify and stop this madness. And let's see what happens in 2024. But I don't think it works anymore just to migrate to a red state or to drop out of the popular culture. You've got to get control of the political apparatus of the country through elections. And if, and your worry is legitimate. If you can't do it through fair elections, then what do you do? So I think this election, I know everybody says that each election is paramount, but this one is very important because we're in the middle of a revolution, and it's our only avenue to a counter-revolution to return to normality.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So yeah, everybody is fired up today.
Yeah,
as we're getting ready for the show.
It's
when I walked in the room, first thing Robin says to me, Biden, that mother, I'm like, whoa, what'd he do now?
Yeah.
And what was it that he did? Oh, yeah, it was the lie again.
Yeah, about Trump saying that the losers that were the military men who gave their lives were losers. And,
right,
you know, and so Biden repeats it and yells it. It always helps when he yells it. And the old man at the clouds thing. And by the way, that story's been debunked a billion times over. It never happened.
No, it was like
created out of thin air. Yeah,
it's the same
thing. But he just says it.
Yes.
Golly.
By the way, he checked out again, too. I think you have the audio, David.
Yeah, completely. Joe Biden did an event about Americans with disabilities. And he tried to list off all the disabilities he knew.
Okay.
For all the various disabilities, is staggering. It's staggering. And, for example, whether it's ARPA, we're spending billions of dollars on research and development for health disparities. Everything from... Anyway, I won't...
Dude.
So, anyway?
That's one of his favorites.
Yeah.
He just checks out.
Well, that's actually the name of a condition that he has. It's called...
So, yeah, there's a lot of frustration out there with people, just common sense people watching everything unfold right now. I suppose the good news is the Democrats are in a lot of trouble in a number of different ways, because you do have independents watching what's going on saying we can't keep going like this. And you look at his approval numbers and everyone knows he's old and senile and out of gas and can't do this. And then what are they going to do?
Well, Gavin's getting hot in the bullpen.
Boy, oh boy. And a lot of people do believe with Gavin Newsom, governor of California, appointing who he appointed to the Senate, who lives in Maryland, for crying out loud.
Oh, right. But who cares?
But she's big on abortion. She's an abortion activist, right. And she's black, and she's lesbian. So it's like the trifecta. Three boxes there. Now, as the white governor, as a male, does that give him a pass then to run for president?
Well, he's definitely got himself fully in the good graces of Emily's List, that left-wing dark money group that she works for. So, yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, we'll see. It's a whole lot going on. And let me understand this, David. Homeless people are suing over a campaign ban?
I'm sorry, a camping ban.
A camping ban.
Yeah, the city of Portland is rolling out a ban on camping out on the sidewalk during the day. And apparently this is unloving and terrible. So a group is suing the city over it, claiming it violates the state's constitution. KGW talked with a lady who works with the homeless, and she signed on to support the lawsuit. And this is unreal.
Okay, roll it.
The ordinance is unreasonable. It's harmful. You know, you have people who are already feeling rejected and ostracized from community. They can't access resources. They don't know how. And then now you're telling them that they can't.
They've torn a city apart.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's, I think her heart is in the right place because she works with homeless people all the time.
I understand.
But look, the rights of homeless people don't supersede the rights of parents taking their kids to a playground.
Dude, there are so many of us who have had a heart for homeless people that give to various organizations that go about it the right way. But you can't allow people to keep living the way they're living as drug addicts, as criminals. You can't do it. You can't have a society that way.
And then now you're telling them that they can't even sit down with their belongings on a park bench or a sidewalk.
If that's all they
We're
did,
seeing
that would
a lot
be
of
one
reactionary
thing.
Ordinances come into place. And we want everyone to just stop and pause and take time to figure out what are the complexities and the nuances behind this ordinance and how does it affect people, rather than we just don't want to see homelessness anymore. Let's make it go away.
It's a public health threat.
Plain and simple. There are societal norms that still exist. I mean, you're still not allowed to poop in the street. I mean, that's simplistic, but it's true.
Well, the next we're going to hear someone like the person we just heard say it'd be cruel to not let them do that. It's insanity. It doesn't work.
No.
Good night, man. There is so much to get to today. You know, it's almost comical. And Peter Ducey, when he was asking Karine Jean-Pierre a question yesterday, actually made the people around him laugh. And it has to do with someone pulling a fire alarm, of all things. Because that's popular these days. We're going to have some fun today, kids. Right back. All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Jamal Bowman. He's a Democrat. He pulled that fire alarm. You probably heard that story.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand. What's the big deal? Why is everybody making such a big deal about this?
You know, I don't know why this has gotten so much attention. I was literally just in a rush to go vote, man. That's all it was.
Are you afraid of any repercussions either from leadership or from legally the Capitol Police?
I mean, listen, I take responsibility for what I did, you know, but like I said, I was in a rush to go vote, and, you know, the investigation will sort everything else out.
Okay.
You're right. Just in a rush to vote, so you pull the fire alarm.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he says that he tried to go open the door, but they wouldn't open, and so then he turns around and pulls the fire alarm exit and didn't realize that would set off the fire alarm, which I thought reading comprehension was kind of a basic thing when you're in Congress, but I was wrong about that.
Yeah, what part of grade school did you learn that?
Well, it was reading equity. That's one of the things he's going to be working on, because he couldn't read that fire alarm. Pull here.
He was principal at his school, too. A lot of fire alarms in schools.
Yes. Well, you have to go through the training.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one, though, it was a little odd. It was a little different.
The principal doesn't know that. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
And the other thing is what his office sent out to everybody, to other Democrats. Here's how to handle this.
Yeah.
Go out and defend him. Okay. And the one, I believe Congressman Bowman, when he says this was an accident, Republicans need to instead focus their energy on the Nazi members of their party.
Yeah, Nazis. I like that one.
And then he had to come out and apologize for saying Nazi. Well, it was, not exactly what he meant.
He mean Nazi?
And that was like rogue staff. He didn't tell them to do that. They did that on their own.
Yeah, this guy.
Oh, it's something.
Jeez.
Oh, no, yeah.
I mean, dude, this is a guy who calls everybody he doesn't like a Nazi. Okay, or a white supremacist or whatever. I mean, he had a hand in that.
Dude, remember, before the midterms, he said if the Republicans win, black and brown people's lives will be in the balance.
Yeah.
This dude's hysterical. Maybe he did. It won't open. Fire alarm. Who knows? The guy's a nut. But it did lend to this moment, which I think a lot of people enjoyed. It was Peter Ducey asking a question of Karine Jean-Pierre.
Would President Biden ever try to get out of a meeting by pulling a fire alarm?
Are you talking about something specifically?
A Democratic member of Congress pulled a fire alarm around a series of votes. No fire. Is that appropriate?
What I can tell you is I'm not spoken to the president about this. And so just not going to comment. I would leave it up to, I know there's a House process moving forward right now. I'll leave it to the House.
It even made her laugh.
Which is almost impossible.
Very much so. So, yeah, I thought that was actually kind of funny that the Deuce came up with that question. Yeah. Would he actually do this? Just curious. I don't know. You tell me.
Would he do it? Well, I think he would pull it, but yeah. It would be a total accident. He thought he was shaking hands with a ghost.
Right.
Well, oh, yeah, he could get confused by it. That is probably true.
Good to meet you, Congressman Alarm.
Democrat from Connecticut.
Something else out there. I don't know if you happen to see this. This went viral late last week. It was the video of this student in Michigan, I think sophomore, throwing this chair into the back of the head of this female teacher.
What?
Did you anybody see the video?
Yeah, I've seen the video.
I didn't see it.
Oh my gosh, man. It is brutal.
Holy cow.
The update to that story is that teacher is going to be coming back to school.
Golly.
If she didn't, I wouldn't blame her.
Well, no.
I'll tell you that. I mean, and again, you could paint the picture. You saw the video, David. I mean, people are like horrified.
Yeah.
It's two girls fighting, and the one is frustrated. Going back. And then she picks up the chair. Okay. So Flint Community Schools have reacted to this, saying it occurred at the Southwestern Classical Academy concerning a physical altercation between two scholars.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's
the way it reads.
Okay.
This unfortunate incident resulted in a staff member sustaining an injury. So, well, yeah, of course. And there were students like watching this horrified. Then a district press release went on to say teacher was released from the hospital and is doing well. Furthermore, I am heartened to inform you that the teacher has chosen to return to work.
All right. Where are the two scholars? What happened to them?
Well,
the precocious kids.
They did say they considered the teacher a hero. So, yes, and it also said that the student involved will be held accountable according to the law and in accordance with the Flint Community Schools Student Code of Conduct.
Yeah,
okay, what does that mean, according to the law, held accountable? Because if that means anything like what we've seen over the last couple of years in the United States, held accountable means not a whole lot.
A good talking to.
That person should never be allowed back in that school again.
No.
That should be it.
Ever.
Just you're absolutely done. Okay, other stuff to get to. Oh, guess who else wants to close the southern border now? There's another governor saying, hey, we got to have something done there.
Yeah.
We will get to that. And what's your story? Straight ahead right here. The Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Jamie Markley. The Gen Xer, David Van Camp, the Millennial, the Sexy Boomer, Scott Robbins. Okay, so Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says, hey, this border thing, huh? Biden a little help here, huh?
I have no tolerance for that whatsoever.
What do you mean?
Jackass. He was the one, Illinois is a welcoming state. That means that we accept that people are, migrating to this country to escape the awful conditions they live in. This guy made that proclamation more than once. And again, this is happening to him. And now the toad is in front of the microphone. Go, we can't handle anymore. I don't know what. This guy.
He's got a lot in common with the others. Very welcoming. Wait a second.
Yeah, until it's your problem. And you got the mayor of Chicago banging on the podium, yelling at you. You know, we can't handle anymore. This is going to cost us billions of dollars. And
Should have thought of that.
So, yeah, Governor Jackwagon, who was out there telling us all to just embrace it, shut up.
Yeah.
Stop whining.
So what is the story with him, David, as far as Pritzker saying what? How many people in Illinois? And is it, well, for a while, all blame was on the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott. It is
right.
Fault.
Well, yeah. So the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, said that the federal government's lack of intervention and coordination over migrants at the border has created an untenable situation for the state.
Wow.
Pritzker wrote in a letter to Joe Biden that governors and mayors from border states had in the past 13 months transported 15,000 people to Illinois like cargo in a dehumanizing attempt to score political points.
See.
Oh, please. Up yours, dude.
Stop. Yeah, I know, exactly.
The thing is, okay, one, a charter bus is not, you know, is not the back of a freaking semi, okay?
It's air-conditioned, dude.
Yeah, there's bathrooms on board.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not dehumanizing, especially if they say, yeah, sure, I'll go. The other thing is, what Texas has sent to whether it's Chicago, D.C., or New York is a drop in the bucket compared to what Joe Biden himself has sent.
I can't get over the whole, like, cargo. Talking about these buses. Because the vision I have in my head is the 80s, and the Markley family vacation was me and my brother in the back of a pickup with a topper. Okay.
Yeah.
And we thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Not a bus with air conditioning and reclining seats.
You know what it reminds
me of? A place
to
take a whiz? That would have been awesome. You didn't have to go in a peanut jar.
Right. No. On the interstate with the cattle cars. You know, the big semis with the cattle in them, and you got the holes in the side so the air can get in?
Yeah.
That's what I think of when I hear him talk about the inhumane conditions and blah, blah, blah. This jackass.
Well, the way that guy's lived his entire life as a billionaire, I'm sure riding on a bus would be slumming it.
I mean, if you had said during your campaign for reelection, if you had stood up and said, hey, you know what? We got a problem at the border. We need to solve that problem. And I'm going to help the president do that, or I'm going to do whatever I can. No, he didn't say that. There was no problem in his world until now. God, these guys.
I know. It's very frustrating.
Jeez.
In fairness, I mean, J.B. Pritzker has never ridden on a Greyhound bus before, mainly because he can't fit in one.
Right. Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, we did talk about that story yesterday of that person that's wanting some equity for bigger people.
Right.
When it comes to public transportation. Maybe he could spearhead that thing with her. I don't know.
Jeez, wow. Can you imagine sweat rolling off that guy on a Greyhound? Holy smokes.
As far as Trump goes, switching gears to Trump and the courtroom yesterday with this whole case, did you see any clips of this?
Yeah.
With the judge smirking?
Yeah. Unbelievable. What was that about?
Well, he's mugging for the camera. I mean, that's really what it was. He noticed the camera was looking at him, and he takes off his glasses and gives a little smile and a wink. Because everybody, again, we know what this is against Donald Trump. It's not about justice. It's not about repaying whatever taxes he may owe or whatever. It's about, well, an attorney general who's a far-left lunatic Democrat who won and promised to get revenge on Donald Trump.
Dude, when she was running in 2018, she talked about it. And this bullcrap yesterday, see if you've ever heard this one before. You ready? Okay, I bet you could say it along with her.
Donald Trump and the other defendants have committed persistent and repeated fraud. My message is simple. No matter how powerful you are, no matter how much money you think you may have.
Let's come and guess it.
No one is above the law.
There we go.
Oh, of course.
Of course not.
And I mean, to simplify it, so she's trying to say, hey, he always said he was wealthier than he really was, and he used it to his advantage, getting these loans and everything else. Well, the loans are paid off. No one's complaining.
No.
But she promised when she was running that she was going to go after him. That was, what, 2018?
No one is above the law, including this illegitimate president. Attorney General every day suing him, defending your rights, and then going home.
That tells you everything you need to know.
That's the only time she was ever honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's weaponization of law enforcement 101 right there.
not only that, but I want you to know right now, I'm literally shaking.
Oh, I think I
did.
Know
I
why.
Hear an did I hear an election denier there?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
yeah, illegitimate president. Sure,
election denier,
threat to democracy.
Don't we hear that from these people all the time?
Every day.
Beyond the pale?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So what did the Trumpster have to say about it yesterday? What you would imagine.
Disgraceful trial put forward by an attorney general who's corrupt. We have murders going all over the city, all over the state at a record level. It's an epidemic, and they waste their time with this.
Yeah. It really is unbelievable. And that's just one of many that he'll be going through. But this man saying, yeah, the kids can't run it. He can't run it. I mean, they're destroying the business.
Yeah, they want to ultimately make it impossible for him to do business in the state of New York. This is them unpersoning a former president of the United States.
And for what? Because he's a threat to them.
Yeah.
I mean, dude. Things are happening, it seems like, every day that you never thought you would see. And I don't ever want to get used to it. In some ways, you can't help it. But, I mean, this is absolute freak madness. All right, I know we got to switch gears at that time of the show. This may not be the biggest story you saw out there today, but it certainly caught your attention. David, today, what's your story?
Wild situation in Kingsland, Texas, where a family was terrorized by a pig gone wild. Now, we're not talking about an actual, like, feral hog or anything like that. It's a pig that was somebody's farm animal. And Fox 7 in Austin talked with the victim of this 300-pound pig that was apparently going after the family relentlessly on multiple occasions.
Okay.
I'm standing inside my parents' house with a hammer and a knife trying to defend myself and defend my family at any cost. I shouldn't have to live like this. My daughter got hurt out here. And then he barreled through. My mom wrestled with him at the doorway to try to prevent him from coming in. He barreled on through, got a hold of my dad. My mom tried to lay on top of him to crunch him down until the cops got here to get him. And he overpowered her and got on top of her. And he had hers flattened like an accordion.
Dang.
So, it sounds like a dicey situation. No charges are being filed, though. The pig's owner apparently has now really secured where the pig lives. And the county sheriff put out a statement that is jaw-dropping and awesome. What the county sheriff said, it is believed that the owner has secured the pig's enclosure. There are not going to be any charges filed. The pig was not trying to attack anyone. It knocked down a person and began acting, well, like a dog will sometimes do on a person's leg. It wasn't being aggressive in a way that was trying to hurt anyone. Apparently, that pig has a little bit of Mississippi leg hound in it. That was my addition.
The audio of the pig is interesting, though, because all you hear is la, 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 la. Well, oh, dang.
I think it's also important to point out that not all pigs act this way. This one had become radicalized.
Right, that's true.
Okay, so I don't want that to reflect on all pigs.
Well, it has been a longtime reader of Jeffrey Toobin. So.
Oh, boy. Yeah. And Mom trying to fight that thing off with a hammer?
Yeah.
Golly. And see, everything then from my brain goes back to Trump.
He went after his mother with a hammer. He wanted to hit her on the head. And I said, wow, that's tough.
Okay, quiz. Man. Who was Trump talking about in that clip?
Ben Carson.
Correct.
I forgot about that.
It was in Ben Carson's book, right?
Yeah, and then Trump had this long monologue about how Ben Carson talked about hitting someone with a padlock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he tried to stab a guy one time? Something like that?
I tried to stab a friend of mine whose name was Bob, but now it's changed.
Yes, that was the whole bit. Sorry for the detour there. Scott, what's your story?
You know, we talk about drug shortages all the time. There is also shortages now across the country for laxatives. Yep. Dr. Christian Meyer, physician and value-based care consultant, says more specifically, Miralax and Dulcilax are getting harder and harder to find in the pharmacies. Now, the problem is an aging population, he says. Sometimes it's harder. And the other one is younger people grabbing laxatives off the shelves and using it as a weight loss drug. So there have been shortages now. So if you're having an issue with things that you need that sort of thing for, you may find it very hard to get.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is that why you've had a case of the grumpies lately?
Well, a doctor prescribed me a laxative one time. And instead of cough syrup, because I was having a cough, and 3 days later I went back in, he said, how's the cough? I said, I don't know, I'm afraid to cough.
See, you got David on that one?
Hey, that's a pretty good one. I would guffaw a little bit more, but I got a little tickle in my throat.
That's all right.
For my story, it's something that gets complained about a lot, and that's people going through drive-through. And it's one of those things that comes out every year, the annual report called the drive-thru study. Who's got the fastest drive-thru? Anybody?
I know who doesn't, but I'll say Chick-fil-A.
No.
Really?
Nope.
Oh, I'm going the bellhole. They basically just start throwing burritos at you the moment you show up at the window. I mean.
Yes. Yep. Actually, Chick-fil-A was the slowest.
No, it wasn't. Really?
Yes.
Man, I've never had any problem there.
Okay.
I thought McDonald's would be the slowest.
How about the most accurate?
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'm wrong then.
Who's the most accurate?
Chick-fil-A.
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
They get it right the first time, baby.
Yes. I don't mind a little bit of weight as long as it's accurate.
No. I don't
either.
You
hate the weight.
Well, I don't like the weight when you do special orders. That's what makes me crazy. You go to a fast food joint and you want a cheeseburger with no cheese.
That's not true. I want a cheeseburger without pickles and all the
and ketchup
BS
and mustard and gosh,
I just want
dang it.
Cheese on it. And then you complain.
Well, because you get the can you pull up thing.
Going on
for 25
years.
How long are we
going to
sit there while we're pulling up, waiting for you and your stupid plain cheeseburgers?
A lot of places you got to pull up anyway. I'd rather have it fresh.
Gosh dang. All right.
And to my liking. I want it my way, Scott.
I want that stale one now.
Okay. Much more to get to. A police officer found a bomb and shot at it? Really? That and much more coming up right here. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, what's the story, David, with the police officer that found a bomb?
Oh, Camden, Tennessee. Fishermen who were fishing in a pond near Camden made an alarming discovery. They hooked a homemade bomb.
Holy smokes. According to
the Benton County Sheriff's Office, deputies responded because there was a suspicious item. When they got there, the 911 caller said he hooked what appeared to be a homemade bomb. And, yeah, the deputy confirmed it was a bomb made of tannerite.
Jeez.
Tannerite, a powerful explosive, a lot of times commonly used in long-range shooting, so that you can, you know, shoot a target a long way away and have a puff of smoke come up, know you hit it. But there was a fuse attached to it that seemingly didn't go off. A deputy, get this, tried to shoot it 3 times to detonate it.
Well,
I don't know why you try to shoot it, but all right.
Okay, Barney. Gosh, dang.
But it was deemed...
No, he was trying to do it. He just didn't like go off on his side. That would be a Barney.
Who makes that decision? You know what we should do?
I think what it is, man, you're out in the middle of nowhere. You don't want to transport this thing back. It may be a few hours before anybody qualified to handle an explosive comes around, and you want to blow some crap up.
Yeah.
I get it.
Rabid wolf. It's a freaking bomb. God, what do you think is going to happen here? I'm assuming it didn't go off.
No, it didn't. They said it was too waterlogged. I think that's a nice way of saying that deputy shot at it 3 times and missed all 3 times.
Gosh, damn.
Either that or I looked up the tannerite, looked up the product, and one thing I did not realize is that you have to have a higher velocity. Piece of ammunition, a bullet hitting it in order for it to ignite at like, they said it requires 2,000 feet per second. And if he's shooting from a pistol, it's not fast enough. So maybe they transported like a live bomb thinking that it was waterlogged and dead. I don't know.
That could be too. Yeah.
I just told you guys something off air. I went to go find it. There's some different pieces being written right now saying, why do right-wingers have such a problem with Travis Kelce dating Taylor Swift?
What?
Nobody has a problem with that. It's being inundated with Taylor Swift all the time, looking at her reaction all the time when you're trying to watch a football game. That's it.
Yes, it's one of those things that just makes you roll your eyes. It's a little nauseating.
She's great for the ratings. See the ratings of that game? Nobody should have been watching that game, but boom, big. Jets and Chiefs.
They're the Super Bowl champs in New York.
Yeah, I know, but they were Aaron Rodgers less Jets. I don't know. But it was a record.
It was the second most watched this season.
Well, that's pretty good.
That's not a record.
For Thursday night football, I guess, or Monday night football, as it were.
Oh,
I don't know if it was a record or not, but it was close. It was in the top.
It was Sunday night.
Or Sunday
night.
Are
you a Swiftie?
What? No. I got all confused.
Apologizing?
Yeah. All discombobulated there.
But they're 12 to 18-year-old females was up 100%.
The Cowboys 49ers this Sunday will blow it away, ratings-wise. You want to bet?
Is Taylor Swift going to be there?
No. This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. I want to make sure that I understand this correctly. Okay, we have this crisis at the border. We avoided the government shutdown. We're trying to work through how we're going to get some border security, and that's tied into the funding of the war in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And Biden is saying, yeah, we got a deal done there yet, or we do have a deal, but there's really no deal yet.
Right. He said that they worked out a deal on Ukraine funding, but they did not actually get that. In fact, that was a major sticking point.
And then Karine Jean-Pierre wouldn't really answer the question on that one way or another, it seems.
Why would the president say that he made a deal if he didn't?
I'm just saying that what we're seeing currently from Congress is that there has been, right? There has been overwhelming support. That is what the president said. A majority of Congress showing overwhelming support to continue that support for Ukraine. And that's what we're going to continue to, that's what we're going to continue to see.
Okay. But is there a deal done or not?
Yeah, he said.
Made a deal that you don't.
I'm just saying that I'm not going to go beyond what the president said. Just not going to go beyond.
Was true?
I'm not going to go beyond what the president said.
So you won't say that what he said was true?
I'm not going to go beyond what the president said.
You're declining to say that what he said was true.
I just answered. Go ahead.
God, what a cluster. What an absolute cluster.
In the end, well, if you're to predict the future, look at history. They'll fund it. One way or another, it's going to get funded. You can bet on that. Doesn't matter that we're $33 trillion in debt and we don't have border security. Yeah. That's probably going to get done. Wouldn't you figure?
Yeah, and then you've got another report from the Pentagon saying, hey, we're not able to create weapons fast enough to restock our own stockpile of weaponry, yada, yada, yada. To me, I never know what to make of that part because I don't have trouble believing that it's true, but also that does come across as, I don't know, some defense contractors getting ready to make a lot more money off this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think the troubling thing, too, is like with all this stuff we get ourselves into, there's absolutely no end in sight. I mean, there's no end game. It's like we can get out when this happens. There isn't one. It's just endless. It's the same thing that took place in the Middle East and Vietnam, and it's like we've learned nothing.
No.
There's no plan on how this ends.
No.
It's just indefinite.
Correct. Yes.
I mean, that's the frustrating part for me. I think it would be an easier sell if you could say, here's our objective. Once we achieve this objective, we're done.
But our media has done nothing but convince most Americans, this is a war we have to be in.
It's like we get in wars.
It's not like here's the two sides. Yeah. Here's the upside and downside. No, no, no. It's only upside. We have to do this. And it's almost like, as far as our media is concerned, Zelensky is like junior president.
Right.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
It's like he's our little buddy president. We love him. We're going to, you know, and I'll look woke enough if I put the flag on my social media. So I'm a big supporter.
But it's just,
you want to send your kid there to go fight?
I don't get it. I mean, there's just no objective, no end. I mean, here's what happens. Here's how we wind this thing down. We can't do this indefinitely.
No, and I know.
We just did this. For 20 years, we did this.
I know no one wants to talk about the $33 trillion debt. But when you hear intelligent people talk about that and what can happen, it's frightening.
Well, yeah.
At some point, that comes due. And when you look at the U.S. dollar just shrinking, 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 I mean, we're all in a lot of trouble when it gets to that. Well, but I know nobody wants to hear it.
Yeah, and I mean, the terrifying thing is the so-called nuclear option, not dealing with nuclear weapons, but nuclear option that China can exercise, which is to essentially dump all the debt that they own from the United States all at once. And in the event of an armed conflict, they would absolutely do that because it would crush us economically. It's a huge national security issue.
Yep. Okay, happy day, though, outside of that. It's all good. We're getting our handle finally on law and order in this country. What? Wait. What? Texas Democrat carjacked in D.C.? You don't say.
Yeah, Henry Cuellar, Texas Democrat, moderate Democrat, they like to say, was rolling up, I guess, outside of where he stays when he's in D.C. It's about a mile away from the Capitol, and got robbed at gunpoint.
Man, oh, man. Saw that story this morning. And the thing is, you're not even surprised. Because you see this stuff happen all the time. I mean, just by percentages. In a lot of these cities, sooner or later, when you have that many congresspeople in that city, it's going to happen to one of them.
Well, I was talking about this with our friend at KLIF this morning, and the impact of something like this happening to someone is life-changing. You're never the same.
Oh, yeah.
Once you get a gun in your face and you're in your car, you're never the same. It alters your entire life. Dang.
Yeah. So, and no idea yet?
No.
Haven't found anybody?
No, not that I've seen.
No.
Been cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No.
Not yet.
Goodness gracious, man. I mean, I don't know what else you say about that. Is that the time where Democrats kind of rally around and say, we've got to do something about the crime in this city and put people in jail?
They've had baby steps so far. Remember the big dust up because the D.C. City Council passed a law that was pro-criminal. Objectively speaking, it was lowering penalties for things like carjacking and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., vetoed it, and then they came back and overrode the veto. Well, because of the unique situation of the District of Columbia, Congress does have oversight over local ordinances, and Congress overrode the city council. All these people who like to wax poetic about how D.C. should be its own state said, but not yet. We like the idea of self-governance if there's something in it for us, but right now, this is the second member of Congress who's been the victim of a violent crime in the past year.
Right.
Apparently, the hijacker, or carjacker in this case, was a middle-aged Caucasian guy with a Jimmy Buffett t-shirt and sandals on.
Yeah, well, one of those radicalized parrot heads,
Got
to look out for those.
Yeah.
And he was screaming car equity,
exactly,
like that. Of course he was. Yes. Okay, so it seems like when it comes to COVID, there'll be a whole lot of stories, and then it kind of goes away, and people forget about it. And then there was the poll. I think you talked about it yesterday, Scott. Most people not interested in getting any other vaccine, no booster.
No. The majority of the people in this country are done.
Anybody see what Dr. Joseph Ladapo, Florida Surgeon General, said about this latest vaccine?
Mm-hmm.
Said it's a major safety concern. This whole push doesn't understand it. Said it's just a terrible idea, and it's remarkable and really spellbinding that the CDC would make the kind of recommendation they did in the absence of evidence. And he's referring to clinical trials, which were not conducted for the new vaccine. Have you ever heard of anything like that before? Because maybe it's possible, and I've never heard of it. But no trial?
Well, it's like, it's call it good is basically what they're doing with this.
Even all the problems they ran into with the last one. Holy smokes. So the FDA and CDC could have compelled Pfizer or Moderna to conduct clinical trials. That's something that's totally doable, and they didn't do it. And he went on to say the risks are very real, which adds to the madness of the way that the CDC and FDA are making decisions right now. And again, at least to me, Dr. Lodapo, for everything that he said about COVID and the vaccines, if you just look at the track record, in my opinion, he's trustable. He's been right most of the time, if not all the time. Can't trust the CDC.
Ron DeSantis needs to tell people, if elected, he'll be my Surgeon General.
Yeah, I think that's probably a given.
That'd be a little feather in the cap, wouldn't it? I mean, moving forward.
Do you think that would really make it?
I don't know.
No, it's not a terrible idea.
Well, let him run the CDC. Said this guy's going to run the CDC.
Oh, yeah. I think at least that most people don't pay attention at all. So then do they even know who this guy is?
They're going to throw that shot out there then, and we'll see how business reacts now.
Do you expect it sometime in the next year for lockdowns to come back? Or the attempt of it? I know a lot of people are predicting it.
I don't see it.
I think, you know, I know there's been, you know, some sort of talk about it. You want to start an all-out revolt?
Yes.
That's one good way of doing it. There's a lot of people in this country, left, right, and center, who are going to say, no, we're not doing this again.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. On a lighter note, and I don't mean to bring you down, David, being a millennial and all, but I've seen a couple of pieces in the last week talking about how millennials are just out of style now.
Mm.
They've lost their sense of style.
I was never in style, so winning.
Well, then I see this reminders that you're getting old, and it said when the trendy clothes from your teen years come back in style.
Yeah.
I think you're seeing that now, correct?
Yeah. There's a lot of teenagers walking around in the mall with mom jeans on and whatnot.
Yes.
Fanny packs are making an inexplicable comeback.
And so did Crocs. It is inexplicable.
Yeah.
There was other things that people were mentioning online about reminders you're getting old. And for you, Scott, you're way past most of this. So am I.
Well, I've seen bell bottoms start to make a bit of a comeback.
Yeah, this is like the third time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bell sleeve shirts.
The music you used to party to plays in an elevator.
Oh, well, that happened a long time ago. I don't know about elevator, but I get it at grocery stores all the time.
Well, I mean, you're one of the rare guys that used to party to Air Supply, too.
I never partied to Air Supply.
You played it on the radio and you went to the concerts. My bad.
I went to one concert.
You intro'd the band, correct?
Yes.
That was a proud moment for you.
Saw some stuff I'm not supposed to see.
News update straight ahead. David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Hey, remember the whole movement, Believe All Women?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
This might be the nail in that coffin.
It should be. Trevor Bauer, a former baseball player.
Yeah, he got kicked out. I mean, he was
pitching in Japan.
Blacklisted.
He's still playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not in America.
Not in Major League Baseball.
No.
He found himself in some controversy because a woman came forward and claimed that he had brutally assaulted her, sexually assaulted her. And he has been defending himself over the years, you know, with, you know, text messages from her saying, well, yeah, I mean, we did things rough behind closed doors.
Yeah.
But it was consensual. And anyway, that it was all made up. And now, after a lawsuit he filed against the accuser, he's able to talk about it. And part of it, by the way, part of it's crazy. The Athletic, that so-called news organization,
yeah,
that published the story, the initial graphic story, claimed that the woman suffered a head fracture. They had access to her medical records that showed she never had a skull fracture.
And they just lied?
They lied.
Whoa.
Okay, so the whole thing, and I remember having the conversation at the time, she wanted it rough and to be hit. And I think all of our reactions, like, I don't understand it. I don't know why he would do it. That's beyond. However, as she claimed she was the victim, as it comes out now, because he put out a YouTube video yesterday saying, now I can read these texts because this was held back from my legal team, but now we have them and I can talk about them. How she, before she ever met him, had targeted him to go after money. And so he just starts reading texts from her to her friends. And it starts like this.
Without my knowledge or consent.
Stop. From the very, very beginning. And it starts like this.
Next victim, star pitcher for the Dodgers. A text Lindsay Hill sent to a friend before she ever even met me. What should I steal? She asked another in reference to visiting my house for the first time. The answer? Take his money. So how might that work? I'm going to his house Wednesday, she said. I already have my hooks in. You know how I roll. Then, after the first time we met, net worth is 51 mil, she said. Bitch, you better secure the bag, was the response. But how was she going to do that? Need daddy to choke me out, she said. Being an absolute whore to try to get in on his 51 million, read another text.
Whoa!
Holy smokes.
Wow.
That's why he sued her, because he knew she didn't have any money, but he wanted discovery. That's what he said, and it makes sense, because all this came out through discovery, and it's pretty damning toward her.
Then, after the second time we met, former Padres pitcher Jacob Nix told her, you gotta get this bag. I'll give you $50,000, Lindsay replied. Her AA sponsor asked her at one point, do you feel a tiny bit guilty? Not really, she replied. Since then, her legal team has approached me multiple times about coming to a financial settlement. But as I have done since day one, I refuse to pay her even a single cent. In August of 2021, Lindsay Hill's claims were heard in court. And during those legal proceedings, critical information was deliberately and unlawfully concealed from me and my legal team.
Oh, boy. So you wonder, where is that going to go? And then just a little bit more.
Information like this video, which was taken by Lindsay Hill herself the morning after she claimed she was brutally attacked, emotionally traumatized, and desperate to get away from me. And now we have the metadata, so there can be no dispute. It was taken mere minutes before she left my house on the morning of May 16th, 2021.
Now, of course, you're listening to this right now, you can't see it. The video is her in bed with Trevor Bauer. And he's got, like, a sleep mask on over his eyes. And she grins into the camera as if to say, I got him. And there were no bruises on her face or anything else. It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh, that's sickening.
I'm guessing he can sue Major League Baseball.
I hope he does, and I hope he wins. Because, I mean, for them to punish him, the Dodgers to unperson him and all of that based off of unfounded accusations is inexcusable. This crap needs to stop.
Well, and from that first text to a friend where it says next victim, who have been the other victims?
Right.
And I know there are a lot of pro athletes that are taught by people around them.
Yes.
Stay away.
Don't do it.
Because there are women out there that are going to look to get you to pay them off. And they can use all sorts of tactics to do that.
Golly.
That's wild, man. Yeah, you wonder where this is going to go.
You know, sometimes I'm thankful for being just a middle-aged white guy that doesn't have a lot of money.
This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. And, of course, Major League Baseball hates you. David wanted you to know.
Well, yeah, Major League
Baseball. What's the biggest story of the day, David?
That's right. I'm really glad that Scott Robbins is basking in mediocrity at this moment. I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good being a mediocre
guy. Showing your white privilege, too.
Yeah, I like that. You don't have to worry about, you know, floozies throwing themselves at you for money and all that stuff.
Well, as it's been said, Taylor Swift is not going to get with a bartender.
What do you mean?
See, the least successful you are and the least amount of money you have, well, hell, it's good.
Well, we need to tell some stories from your top 40 days is what we need to do on this show. That'd be a whole lot of fun, wouldn't it? We'll see if we get to that.
Don't always
certainly
have
news
money,
update
right?
Next. Yeah. The Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
Well, it is pretty crazy. Coming up, I guess, any moment now, we're going to start having the debate on Capitol Hill as to whether or not they are going to vote to send Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy packing, or at least not let him be Speaker of the House anymore. And I think it's really funny watching the media talk about this, and John Dickerson from CBS News, very high and mighty always. Mm-hmm. What was his sin? That he worked with Democrats? And I said, well, yeah, let this be a lesson to you, because Democrats have just pretty much all fallen in line and said, yeah, we're going to help, you know, make sure that he vacates the chair. They're going to vote against him.
Okay, wasn't the thinking that he was going to count on the Democrats not to do that after he worked with them?
Right. And they're rolling on him. And let that be a message to every single Republican, whoever finds himself in that situation again. Democrats will play for keeps. Now, I mean, to me, my personal opinion of all of this, regarding, if you've listened long enough, you know there's no love lost with me and Kevin McCarthy. But I think at this moment in time, this is a really dumb thing to be arguing about when you have a lot of things going in your favor as Republicans, but or as much as you could expect right now. I just think it's kind of a pointless fight. But at the same time, this is going to be a very instructive day if Democrats decide to roll on Kevin McCarthy. There is no reason to ever work across the aisle again. There's none.
Well, so the frustration, and I love the way the media portrays them, hardline Republican, extreme Republicans. One of the big things for them was securing the border. We have, well, it's beyond a crisis. It's an invasion. Nothing gets done, and it's day after day. And you have the president, his whole administration, continually lying about it. Mayorkas, the border is secure. Karine Jean-Pierre, yes, Biden's doing everything he can. No, it's pretty simple. You could do it in a day if you really wanted to do it. They don't want to do it. It's all by design. And so you get to the point where you have some sort of leverage with the government spending to say, we're not going to do this unless you secure the border. And then it all caves like it always does. So you have a group of people that are very frustrated by it. And for them, it's like, well, what else do we have to lose? And I think sometimes, and listen, man, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert. I just try to look at anything as like common sense. But the people that would argue with those Republicans that are frustrated to say, but yes, politically, we're going to lose in the long run because of this. At some point, you're like, you got to stand up for just what's right at some moment in time and not work toward the politics of the future, because it seems like Republicans have been doing that forever and continually lose.
Yeah, I just think what's next? You know, if Democrats join in on this stuff, then they have a seat at the table as to who is the next Speaker of the House. And with all of this, I get the frustrations with Kevin McCarthy. I just don't know what the benefit will be in the end. Maybe there will be. It just doesn't seem like there's a really coherent plan here moving forward.
I was going to say the same thing, because I don't know who the heir apparent is. I mean, if they oust McCarthy, and it's a possibility they could.
Mm-hmm. It's possible.
I mean, you know, pretty strong possibility they could. So what's next?
It's a good question.
I mean, what's next? Is anybody going to be satisfied? I mean, it was a slim, slim majority that got him there anyway, of Republicans. Took 25 times or whatever the hell it was, you know?
It's going to be a wild 15 months.
Yeah.
From now until the beginning of 2025. And it's also out there, this is completely switching gears, but as far as politically, Robert Kennedy Jr. is going to announce he's independent. And I've heard different back and forth of who does that benefit more.
Yeah,
does
right.
it benefit Trump more or Biden?
Hard to say.
Well, what's your gut tell you?
My gut told me it probably... I don't know. I guess my gut tells me it would probably benefit Biden.
Is that what you think, David?
Well, yeah, the media machine has been going both barrels against him. And I know he's been polling somewhere around 14 and at one point as high as 20% with Democrats. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but man, once this thing starts to churn, the only people who are going to kind of gravitate towards him are people who would have voted for Trump to begin with, because of the whole thing comes down to the COVID vaccine for a lot of people who would be voting for him right now.
Yeah, I think there's a growing number of people. At least you can see this in some of the polling with independents. Okay. They may not like Trump, but they favor Trump over Biden. You see that more and more as the polling goes on. It's because of how insane the far left is, and they've taken over the entire party. And people see what's going on throughout the country, whether it's the illegal immigration or the crime, the fentanyl, and the three gender crap, all of it. And they're like, enough. Some form of normalcy. And if that means Trump, never thought I'd say the normalcy would be Trump, but we'll take that over what we're seeing right now.
Mm-hmm.
We were making a deal with Grandpa that was going to try to unite everybody. That hasn't happened. It's absolute insanity going on. And one more point on that before we move on to other things. I mentioned Tucker Carlson had a conversation with Victor Davis Hanson, Hoover Institute, who I always want to hear what he has to say because I think he's incredibly wise. When he was talking about so many people not seeing, this is like a revolution that's happening right now.
We don't realize that we're in the middle of a revolution. We think that we're still playing within the same sidelines or parameters, and it's not. Everything's under negotiation, whether it's the Senate filibuster, the Electoral College, new states coming in, the size of the Supreme Court, voting IDs, the genders, the foundational data of the United States, pronoun usage from the trivial to the existential. We're in the middle of a cultural, economic, political revolution.
You think that's true?
Yes.
I do too.
Well, a lot of the people who are the foot soldiers for this movement will tell you that it's a revolution.
Yes. Decades in the making.
Yeah.
Taking the institutions, and the far left has certainly done that. Okay. What is evaded racism? David, you have this story.
Right on cue. You talked about the far left taking over institutions.
Yeah.
We have some fresh terminology from white liberals saying that black kids can't succeed because of racism, but not just any old racism. No. That's passé. It's called evaded racism, where if someone says something about personal responsibility, it's racism. If you say, well, I'm not racist, well, that means you're racist. And here is an instructor who provides guidance to K-12 education systems explaining evaded racism and what that means for black students who apparently are helpless, according to this non-racist person.
Okay, go ahead.
With evaded racism, the blame is usually placed on students of color and families for academic struggles because of their cultural practices or lifestyle or economic, socioeconomic status. Instead of looking at shifts in the oppressive or racist policies or structures, they address these challenges.
Hold on. The policies were set by the left. It's fatherless homes.
Yeah.
I don't know any whitey saying, please don't get married, black couple. Who's saying that? Nobody. This person didn't get stuffed in a locker enough.
Encouraging students to change their behavior or families to do more things that more like white families do, like reading to their children or adopting like a growth mindset and kind of like
How racist is it to say only white families read to their kids?
Well, it's like it's a negative thing.
It quit being so white.
Stop reading to your kids. What?
Stop working hard.
Turn on the record player.
Yes. Words.
Changing their own mindset to fit the school culture mindset.
I don't even understand.
So what is your answer? Their brainiac of how to teach kids to read better. What are you supposed to do? Is there an answer?
Well, there's a government program, I'm sure. That needs to be started tomorrow.
Well, I guess what she's kind of getting at is just accept, in her mindset, I don't believe this at all, but what she believes is that there's no helping black kids, and especially you can't try to help black kids by suggesting that somebody read to them.
That's racist.
Of course it's racist.
Terrible. This is terrible.
Yes.
And it's all this language that,
yes,
that they use.
And so many people are captivated by it.
Yeah,
they hear that BS and they just fall for it.
Just nod your head. Okay. I don't even know what you just said, but okay.
I mean, dude, and some of these policies, and this has been brought up by more than anybody that I hear, black conservatives, when they're talking about cities, whether it's Chicago, Baltimore, wherever, you've had black leaders in charge. Not the city, the schools, police, all of it. What have you done to help these kids? It's getting worse. What metric is it better?
Well, the onus always falls on government to do more.
They already have
it. The government wants your kids.
They're already doing it.
You know, and...
What else is there?
They need you to rely on them for everything, and...
It never really makes sense to me how you can say we need more government programs and then also believe that all government is inherently racist. That never makes any more
sense. Well, yeah.
Never made any sense to me.
None of this makes any sense.
No.
And none of it does.
Man, there was
not the gobbledygook, the
nonsense
that she's spewing out without any receipts at all to back up.
No,
anything.
It's going to take more people to stand up in the middle of that and say, you're full of crap.
Just knock it off. Yeah, done.
Yeah. I see this headline yesterday. A warning about a global satanic pedophile cult.
Holy smokes.
Yes. I'm like, okay. Do you know who's warning about that?
No.
I think you're going to be surprised. What if I told you it was the FBI?
Oh, boy.
Would you believe it?
Well.
Because it's true.
Wow.
We'll get to that much more coming up right here. All right. Good morning, Dave Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, I see this headline yesterday. We were off the air. Yeah, we were done with the show, and I'm like, holy mackerel. FBI warns about global satanic pedophile cult. What?
Wow.
Did you hear that before?
No, I don't know that one.
And it says, seeking to destroy Judeo-Christian Western society.
Jeez.
The FBI warned about it?
Yeah.
This was from the Christian Post. Mm. Did you see this in other places, David?
The Guardian had a story about this. The headline just a few days ago was a 23-year-old was arrested for gun possession. It led the FBI to a global satanic cult.
Yeah. So as I mentioned that this was out there, and I know a couple of people are like, uh-oh, Markley's going Alex Jones on this. I'm just telling you, this is what I read, okay?
They hate you. They hate God. They hate children. And damn them now.
So I read this, and I'm like, okay, where's Q? Is it real? What? Ha! The FBI has issued a public warning about violent online groups that target minors on messaging platforms and encourages them to live stream acts of self-harm and produce child sexual abuse material. This is after the discovery of a satanic cult.
Wow. Jeez.
Again, man, from the FBI. Mm-hmm. The advisory was issued last month. And when you have an advisory like that, are you somewhat surprised that no one's heard about it till now?
Right. Well, that and then also how it's not a bigger story. I've seen a few pieces run on it. And I mean, what they do is despicable, obviously. I mean, they get kids to record videos and then they use it to extort them to make more videos. And
yes.
It's evil. It really is. And how is that not a 60 Minutes fodder type of story?
Dang. Well, it's almost like the media doesn't want it to get out.
They hate you. They hate God. They hate children. And damn them now.
That's
you,
right.
You can't tell me that people wouldn't be interested to know this.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, I think there are enough people who are... sort of in a defensive crouch because at least in my generation, you know, it was sort of fun to mock like 1990s Christian grandma or whatever.
Yeah.
That was like worried about Marilyn Manson turning kids into Satanists and all this. And then it's like, well, a few years later, you flash forward now to 2020 and the dude's like a sexual abuser. I mean, he's a monster.
That's true. And yeah, because in the 80s, it was just burning Aussie records.
Right, right.
And me getting kicked out of English class for wearing an Aussie T-shirt.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually well beyond that because it is actually something that is targeting kids to get them to hurt themselves or exploit themselves.
Well, sometimes worse, commit suicide on camera. And then it's shared around. It's truly evil. The group targets minors between the ages of 8 and 17, particularly those with mental health issues. That's according to the FBI. Adding they use threats, blackmail, and manipulation to get their victims, again, to record or live stream self-harm, sexually explicit acts, or even suicide. And then it's circulated. And they communicate mainly on Telegram, but also use platforms like Discord, Twitch, SoundCloud. They gain notoriety and rise in status within their groups by sharing the violent videos and images. God. The Order of Nine Angels, that is the group, recognized by American authorities as having a terrorist ideology. So there you go. It's, again, crazy to me.
But let's make sure we arrest people who object in school board meetings.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, that one person that was at the school board meeting, and they were asked to stop talking, your time's up, and then she kept going?
Yeah.
Yeah, the FBI's got to follow her
around.
That's
right.
Yeah, you know why?
They hate you. They hate God. They hate children. And damn them to hell.
I mean, it's not complicated. They're evil, and they want to diddle your kids. I mean,
you've said it before,
obviously.
Man. Oh, my goodness, dude. It's crazy times. There's no doubt about it. Okay. Boy, there's much more to get to as well. This story and other stuff that's going on out there. Okay.
You know what?
I think we're in the jungle, baby. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, David, what's the latest with Kevin McCarthy? What's the situation?
Well, we're waiting to hear what the final votes will be. They're voting on some other things, as I understand it right now. But Matt Gaetz is going to be pushing for a motion to vacate, meaning he would no longer be the Speaker of the House. Democrats have said, all right, yeah, we'll join in on that. And that means they're going to be instrumental in helping to remove Kevin McCarthy as the Speaker of the House.
Some of the Republicans are very unhappy with him because he was working with Democrats to avoid the government shutdown and caved on a lot of the things that the Republicans wanted, like securing the border.
Yeah, and I mean, this is it's a fascinating development. I think a lesson to every Republican on Capitol Hill: never work with the Democrats again. Bipartisan should be a four-letter word for you people now, because, you know, Kevin McCarthy actually did work with Democrats on Capitol Hill, and they have repaid that by saying, yeah, we're going to join in on this and help remove you as Speaker of the House. That's what it's setting up to be this afternoon.
Are they doing it simply for the chaos involved, right?
Yeah, well, also because through the procedural muck and mire that happens here, they would get a pretty decent say as to who becomes the next Speaker of the House. So in essence, you're actually setting up a situation where somebody even more friendly to Democrats is going to take that position potentially, which again is
somewhere in my mind, for a lot of these Republicans, they may as well be Democrats because they're bought and paid for by the same people that have the Democrats paid for.
No.
If that makes sense. It's, at some point, you understand the risk involved, but you at least want someone to stand up and say, we can't do anything until we secure the border.
Yeah.
It's an invasion. I mean, you have the governor of Illinois out there today saying, we got to do something about the illegal immigration. We can't take any more here in Illinois,
Let
alone Texas,
well, hey,
Arizona.
Jack Wagon, you were the one that was so out there on the sanctuary state and welcome all visitors, and we want to bring in immigrants and make them feel at home here in our state. It came to you, and now you don't want anything to do with it, you hypocrite jackass.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the same with basically all of them.
Well, yeah.
But I think to your point, even going back to last week, David, did the Republicans get the message out? All bets are off until we can secure the border and just stay on that point.
They didn't. And that's one of the reasons why I look at it, and it's like, again, I don't really care about Kevin McCarthy. It's kind of funny that people who consider themselves, you know, quote unquote MAGA Republicans are bending over backwards to hand Democrats a victory by claiming the scalp of somebody who was handpicked by Donald Trump. But, you know, them's the breaks. Washington's a weird place. I guess, you know, to me, it's like, well,
hold on a second. It wasn't part of the deal, though, when they said, okay, we'll make you speaker, but he had to make a lot of concessions.
Yeah.
And according to some of these Republicans, he was just not holding up his end of the deal.
Right. And that's what they say. And you can have those grievances. Again, I just don't know what step two is in all of this. Not about defending Kevin McCarthy. It's just more saying, okay, where's the win in all of this? What is going to be the win? And I don't see where a win happens.
That's a good question. At the same time, I want to see someone stand up and say, we're not doing anything until you secure the border. Not a thing. Government shutdown. Let them go. You got to have borders. You don't have a country. There are enough people that are just totally frustrated. And Republican voters, I mean, there are so many that are done with the party. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't count on you guys for anything. You say you're going to go in and we're going to stand up for the people and stand up for everything that's important to you. And then they don't. It's to their donors. Mm-hmm. People are frustrated. There's a lot of frustration out there. Well, as far as illegal immigration, you mentioned Illinois. What is the story? You had a story out of Detroit.
Well, it's actually Oakland County, Michigan. The sheriff said that, oh, by the way, crime syndicates from south of the border have been targeting high-end homes now.
Oh, we got to go where the money is. If you're a criminal, there's no need to go to the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Stealing hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of belonging, according to CBS Detroit.
Wow, just ransacking the homes.
Oh, yeah, just breaking in and taking whatever you want and then leaving. And it's all organized. I mean, what once was organized retail theft, you know, is now, I guess, just organized home theft. And did I mention that all of the people coming across the border are just, they're just looking for an opportunity and they're just asylum seekers, mostly women and children?
You'd have to pay attention to nothing but liberal media to believe that.
Well, again, go to the video. I mean, look at who's coming. I mean, this isn't hard.
Oh, it's dudes.
Oh, yes, of course it is. The majority are single guys.
Yes.
But again, I mean, NBC News last night, here's the story. If you shut down the government, these people won't be able to afford to eat.
Come on.
No, dude, this is what they do. Every time this government shutdown stuff starts, right? That's where they go, right to that. We will be getting checks because, well, we won't be able to feed our children and we'll lose our house. And, well, you know, this is what they do.
Yes.
They don't talk about the people coming across the border illegally. They don't want to talk. No.
But you know what, man? And I saw this at Hot Air. It was David Strom. But he was mentioning a failing New York Times piece that's basically trashing far-left ideology, talking about, well, Portland, Chicago, New York, Baltimore, all these different places, talking about how it's gotten out of hand. And, you know, they wanted to defund the police, so then it's hard to find police that want to work, and then you got people hiring private security guards, and they're running into mess after mess after mess,
mm-hmm.
and you got the homeless issues on top of that, which I think we're okay to bring this up now. It's been an edgy day in a lot of different ways, especially for you, David, because of the way the day started.
It was a wild day. Where I work, where my studios are, in a slightly crustier part of town, I would say, you know, a little slightly downtrodden, et cetera. And occasionally, you know, you'll have homeless people, you know, trying to like get cigarette butts out of the ashtrays or whatever, you know, and no big deal. Today I got into work, I got into the parking lot, and I see one of our colleagues who had just left running back into the building and saying, David, you know, it's time to go. And I'm like, what's happening? And running around the corner is this tall, lanky dude with a wild beard and wild hair. Kind of looks a little like Charles Manson, running around with a length of pipe, swinging it around.
And no shirt, right?
No shirt on, and starts running right at me. And so I'm going to the back door. I can't get there in time, so I pull my piece. And luckily, you know, I was able to get through the back door. He slowed down a little bit. Go and I talk with some of the coworkers. They're calling 911, et cetera. And then I don't think
what
he would.
By the way, what did you say when you pulled the piece? Did you say, you better get back?
No, I said, stop, drop it. And
did he drop it?
No, he did not. He did stop.
He just ran.
He stopped. Okay. But anyway, go out a different door with our colleague. I don't think he'd mind me saying this, especially because I'm about to effusively praise him. Trey Ware, he does the morning show on KTSA, we go out there, and he's armed as well, and at that point, everything's still in a holster, you just got your hand on it, ready to go, and this dude's got, like, deep, you know, pipes, I mean, like a loud voice, and he can be an intimidating dude as well.
Yeah,
I mean,
Trey,
He's over 6 feet tall, very, very large guy. And can be very intimidating. And I will tell you, after standing shoulder to shoulder with him this morning, I would not want to be on the wrong side of his mood, okay?
Mm-mm,
I didn't
know.
He's a very nice guy, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Goes and yells at the guy because he's at the door I had just run through, and he's, like, swinging this metal pipe, the crazy homeless Charles Manson-looking guy, and he goes, you, right now, drop the pipe, come right here, and sit down on the sidewalk. Does it. Sure enough, so, you know, we, and so Trey and I are there standing on the sidewalk and, you know, making sure that we, you know, make he doesn't get up and do something crazy. And so we're standing there waiting for the cops to show up. It takes the cops about 20 minutes to get there, unfortunately. But I think it was because they had gotten another call because the dude had been at a church down the street causing trouble. So they were there, like, clearing the building or looking for him over there, and then they get the call, and they came over and helped us out. The officer's very professional, very good, and got the situation under control. But, yeah, I mean, it was a bit of an adrenaline dump this morning.
Dude.
Gosh dang.
Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes, man.
Charles Manson-looking dude, shirtless, coming at you with a pipe. Yeah, that'll get your attention.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I don't know what else to say.
You know what the fuck you are!
Yeah.
You know, San Antonio, not as far gone as Austin or Portland or Seattle, but there are enough progressives running this city that it just, it's a shame.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. You need to start banning pipes.
Well, obviously, yeah. Common sense pipe control. All right.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, news update and much more straight ahead. All right, the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Now, this is one of those stories, it's not like it's a big surprise, but still when you see it in print, you're like, wow, we really are there. Saw it at Hot Air. David Strom's writing the piece. And it's from a Real Clear Politics poll. And so if you've had the feeling, you know, people on the left, they like some censorship.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But the people on the left don't see it that way.
No, it's hate speech to them.
Well, might be hate speech, or it might just be the war on misinformation or disinformation.
See, there's another good word, misinformation. That, you know... I don't recall the word misinformation ever being used until within the last 2 years.
A lot with COVID, for sure.
Yeah, everything was misinformation.
Well, as he writes, it's true. I mean, it's embracing actual Marxism through critical theory.
Well, whatever. So
that's what it is.
Whatever you disagree with, that's the label you attach to it. Yes.
Wow, and those under 30 are most open to censorship by the government.
Of course.
Well, yeah, because they've been hammered with that message over and over again that some speech is bad and harmful.
Right.
Yes.
That words hurt. I mean, good example of this. Did you see the CNN story today? That it said the headline was, "Parents shouting at children can be as harmful as sexual or physical abuse."
That's nonsense.
And the study actually did not find that. The study that they're citing for that says that, you know, verbal abuse should be considered a real form of abuse. It does not say that yelling at a child is as damaging as sexually assaulting them.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I was just talking with my buddies about this. Let's go to the little part where it talks about yelling at children.
Yeah.
It's different depending on who you talk to. And this is the example. Mm-hmm. If you're having a conversation and it starts to get spirited, and let's say I'm just making up anything. Listen, you need to be on time. To me, that's just being firm. To some people, that's yelling.
Yeah.
You think that's yelling?
Well, there's been misappropriation everywhere. There was not an insurrection. Did not take place. Hate speech.
You need to be on time!
Right, exactly. Right.
That's yelling.
Yeah. Well, even that sometimes is productive.
Well, and
sure.
And yelling isn't the same as verbal abuse. Verbal abuse is when you're telling somebody that they're worthless, when you're telling a kid that they're stupid, and that this is why, you know, this is why your mother doesn't love you and that kind of stuff. That's verbal abuse. That's not the same as raising your voice at a kid. And it's definitely not the same as sexual abuse or physical abuse.
No, absolute nonsense. Wow. The way that came right off the top of your head, that seems like something you've heard before. Tell me it's not, because that made me sad.
Boy, can't imagine why Dad left, David.
Oh, no. You never heard that, did you? Did you? Oh, golly.
We all have our
wounds. Are you crying, Scott?
No, I just remember you're not exactly the smartest guy in the room, so Sweat Equity has to make it up,
right.
Idiot.
I just take the good old, are you stupid? That was pale. That's nothing. Anyway, it goes on in this piece. Talk about that it's more important to them that the government protect national security than guard the right to free expression. And isn't that going back to a whole generation or two that haven't been taught what America was built on, or American pride, or what people fought and died for? Wow, man. You know, they say, you know, it's always a couple of generations away from really destroying a civilization.
Well,
you can see it.
That's where everything is supposedly, quote unquote, privilege and all of this stuff in this country. That's how people view it. And, you know, you really have to take a step back, because what that mindset actually believes is that the U.S. has a high standard of living, high quality of life, has been influential around the world for decades because privilege? Like, it totally takes the entire blood, sweat, tears, bodies, death, I mean, sacrifice out of the equation because, well, there is a certain mindset that teaches that those things, earning something, is a sign of white supremacy or something.
Just nonsense. And by the way, another story that it's a head scratcher, at least to me. The Marine Corps is relaxing its uniform standards. Did you hear that?
No.
Because of an ongoing camouflage shortage.
Camouflage shortage?
How does that happen?
Is that part of supply chain problems?
No. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin show. I'd ask the biggest story of the day, David, but to answer your question, Scott, I don't know.
Well,
don't you just make it?
Maybe they made
I would think.
Maybe they made the camouflage too good and they just can't find it now.
Where's the clothes?
I don't know.
Where'd they go?
Biggest story today, if there's one.
I guess in the political world, it's the upcoming vote or the motion to vacate the chair of the Speaker of the House targeting Kevin McCarthy. It looks like Democrats are poised to help Matt Gaetz on this quest, and we'll have to see. It'll all come down to basically whether or not like 10 people show up in the end.
Yeah, and where does it go from there? Yeah. We'll get to that and the Scott Robbins trifecta straight ahead. All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
Well, it's really funny. So Hunter Biden is due in court today on the federal, or was in court, I guess, already, for the federal gun charges that he faces. He's pleaded not guilty. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about it and says that, well, we're not going to comment on it, but the president loves his son. I really think that the better question to ask of them is just hammer home the point. You guys are talking about massively overhauling gun control in this country when the president's own son was initially going to get a pass for violating existing federal gun laws.
Think about this. I'm going to switch gears on you.
Okay.
Because 60 Minutes had the interview with Merrick Garland.
Uh-huh.
I happened to hear Megyn Kelly, you know, former lawyer, knows how to interview people, go nuts on that interview, saying all these things that you could have asked about Hunter Biden, Scott Pelley. You didn't do anything. It was an embarrassment. And that's just another one with Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what was the question that was asked? It was Pelley saying, are you protecting Hunter Biden? All these questions. And it was just funny to me because Megyn Kelly's mocking him, going, this is embarrassing. All these different questions. And this was your chance, 60 Minutes, after the Leslie Stahl debacle in 2020 with Trump. It can't be verified. The laptop can't be verified. To say, hey, you know what? It could have been. And we actually did a year later. We just didn't tell anybody. But we owe it to you to say we booted on that one, but we're going to hold these people accountable and we're going to get answers to these questions. But that's not a real news organization.
No,
those days
not.
Are gone. 60 Minutes is a joke. I mean, you could wax poetic, Scott, about what 60 Minutes meant to people in the 70s,
well, 80s. Well, it did. I mean, it did. Guys like Mike Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he took the self-important and self-righteous and the powerful and drug them through the mud. I mean, that was part of the fun. When the guy would show up in the lobby of a business that was, you know, ripping people off and they'd freak out. That was part of the fun.
Holding people accountable.
It's gone. It's been gone for a long time.
Yes.
I don't watch it anymore. I mean, I very rarely, I see clips. Like, you sometimes will not watch something and just look at the clips. That's what I do now.
Basically what I do.
I can't, because I can't watch that whole thing anymore.
Yeah. I didn't even know Merrick Garland was on until David had the clips.
I didn't either. I might have watched it. I known Merrick Garland was on.
Well, I'm glad it would have ruined my time.
Yeah.
You just get angry.
I had a perfectly good Sunday going into 60 Minutes. You know? Just wrecked everything.
Well, before your trifecta.
Yeah.
This was funny to me. That you still have people out trying to say the economy's great. People just don't understand it. They go on with this over and over and over. Paul Krugman telling CNN anchor Christiane Amanpour that there's this peculiar disconnect between how the economy is doing and how the public's feeling about it.
Oh my!
It's God. A sunny economy. And people just don't know how good they have it.
These shameless cretins that go out there and spread this nonsense, trying to tell people, the little people, well, you know, CPI is down, actually, and getting closer and closer to historical norms, right? And CPI excludes things like, I don't know, a lot of times what number you're looking at, doesn't have groceries, gas, etc. on it. You know, those little things that people need to survive.
Gas prices rise. Everything else rises. Groceries, my goodness.
Well, I mean, inflation's come down a little bit. Dude, people are wanting a lot of things to get back to, quote, normal. You're going backwards. The American family has lost, what is it, $8,000 per year?
Yeah, it's pretty significant, yeah.
People aren't dumb. They recognize that. It doesn't matter how many times you say, whether it's Hakeem Jeffries or whoever else, you know.
The American people trust us that we've made progress as it relates to the economy and kitchen table pocketbook issues.
It's always the kitchen table,
so
too, isn't it?
I'm tired of that crap. Kitchen table. Nobody.
Because you can never talk about, you know, the budget in the living room.
No.
Can't do it.
No.
It's got to be kitchen table, always. Yes. Oh, that Chris Murphy?
Well, listen, the economy is booming right now. I mean,
these people live in some alternative weirdo universe, don't they?
Yes.
I mean, there's no way you can say that with a straight face.
Our economy remains resilient, bolstered by President Biden's economic plan.
That young whippersnapper, she doesn't remember when it was good.
I didn't understand supply chain issues, and we understand it now. You're in charge.
Well, these are also the same people that said it was no problem that Dianne Feinstein was still a senator.
This is true. Boy, isn't that the truth. All right, Robbins, are you ready for your big three?
Hey, yeah.
Okay. Casey, ready?
I don't know.
Okay, here we go.
Are you ready? It's the three most important news stories of the day.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, at least according to Scott Robbins. It's the trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Sure. Okay. Always helped by its hero.
I'm Casey Kasem.
I ordered pizza last night. Monday Night Football's on. Open invitation.
Good.
No Casey. Never. Never called. Never texted. Never showed up.
Yeah. I'm ready.
Damn.
Ready for the three.
Three.
Starting to think he doesn't like me. No. Okay.
Yes.
Number three, ESPN is celebrating something weird.
This is so bizarre. It's so ESPN, though. There's a kicker at Jackson State University, a historic black college university school. We know that.
Okay.
At a league game, and their number one kicker was out, so the number two kicker came in. And it should be celebrated because this kicker is a woman. She's a woman on the team. Her name is Lelania Armena. And ESPN celebrated that. And as Cabot Phillips of the Daily Wire wrote, no matter how bad you expected this kick to be, I promise you it was even worse. Never forget that women have ruined the sport. Stop the nonsense, said a radio host. We protect women's sports because it's a difference between men and women. Every player on a football team is a proper potential target for a leveling block or tackle, even kickers if there's a long return. No man can regard a woman in this way. Enough of this already.
Hold on. Did you see the kick?
It was terrible. It was like 10 yards on a kickoff. Oh.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
It was brutal. And, of course, ESPN was falling all over themselves. History was made. University and the kickoff, and it's just the same nonsense.
Would it have been historic if it had been a white dude? I'm just
at
asking
a black,
the
historically black university.
Yeah,
that would have been interesting.
Just ask.
I don't think it would have gotten near the coverage that a very small in stature woman goes out and kicks at 20 yards tops on a roll.
Probably would have been outrage.
Yeah, yeah, not right now. Good.
Oh,
not
you're
very
watching.
Good, David. Yeah, I've got it pulled up. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Jackson State, right?
Yeah, Jackson State.
We're going back to David Van Camp's play-by-play days.
Yep.
Ball set on the 35. It goes, and it dribbles to the... to the opposing 40. All right.
To the opposing 40.
There you
so
go.
It was about, what, 10 yards?
Yeah.
Wow.
On a dribble. And I'm supposed to celebrate this.
It's 25 yards, okay. I mean,
okay, thank you, David, for the correction on that. Rolling. Yes, okay.
Okay, all right.
We're getting closer and closer to number one.
Yeah.
Scott Robbins' trifecta, top three of the day, up to number
two.
Number two, the pride takeover of the calendar continues.
Yeah, I didn't know this, but October is 2SLGBTQIA+ month.
I told you that.
What does the acronym stand for? Do you know?
No.
Two-spirit, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual. The plus sign is believed to represent the countless other ways people self-identify. Got it? I don't get the asexual one, though. That's the one that really boggles my mind. I mean, if you're not sexual in any fashion, you shouldn't be partaking in anything, right?
Yeah. All I know is I tried to give you a heads up on this earlier this year. I tried to get them all in there, and I did mention that one, and I think you just forgot about it.
Maybe I did.
National Coming Out Day is next week. Pronouns Day is October 16th.
Okay. Oh, that was a long time ago when you did that. I remember it now. Yeah.
Awareness Day is October 19th. Spirit Day is October
20th. Is that Two-Spirit or just Spirit?
Just Spirit Day.
That's single.
We have Two-Spirit. Yes, we do. How about you?
But it was one Spirit, not as good as Two-Spirit, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's Spirit inclusive, so however many spirits you have, Spirit Day is for you.
Okay, got it.
Asexual Awareness Week is October 23rd through the 29th is what I have.
I'm not making it up. I know. That's a baffling one, though. Yeah.
That rounds out October. Do you want me to tell you what's coming up in November now or wait till November? Because Remembrance Day is the 20th. And then there's Pansexual Panromantic Day.
Is that people that like to have sex in a pan?
I'm not quite sure, actually. Okay. No.
I think that's just,
I don't know.
That's just people who are open for business.
Is that what it is?
Pretty much.
Those maybe people like to dress like Peter Pan and jump in a pile.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Say it again.
Maybe.
What happens if you get the, like, asexual crowd in there with the pansexual crowd?
What do they do?
Unstoppable force meeting immovable object? Like, what happens there?
Yeah.
It's a great question.
Yeah, you couldn't. Yeah.
I don't know.
People that don't want to do it and people that, I don't know. I'm confused. I'm just, there's so many things attached to this.
You're trying to do your best.
I mean, you know, yeah. And I'm awful surprised that the president did not include this in any of his proclamations this month. Yes, because this will be a good one when he gets to it.
It is actually still Hispanic Heritage Month.
That's right. Until the 15th.
Yeah.
What? It goes October 1st to the 15th?
No.
September 15th to October 15th?
Yeah, correct.
Well, that's odd, isn't it?
Who are you to judge?
You get a month, but it's split up.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Because of different things that have happened in the history. That's the way I understood it. I looked it up.
Okay.
Because I noticed that Hispanic month does not get near the attention of some other months. I don't know why. Well, you could make your own conclusion to that.
And are you asexual by choice, or is that asexual that was forced?
We're getting closer and closer to number one.
I don't know about that one.
I think Casey was waiting for that to wrap up, okay, and finally, right, just like, sorry, we got to move. Yeah, it's the top three from Scott Robbins.
One.
Number one, a man wants to be the first woman to be a man who is a woman who has an abortion.
Well, this started as a tweet that was sent out by Christopher Rufo.
Okay.
Dr. Curtis Crane describes installing an artificial vagina, on a man while retaining his penis, creating a bizarre multiple generational genital hybrid.
What?
This may seem to be a strange request.
She always wanted a vagina, but got sexual gratification from the phallus. So we did the surgery, and she healed great. She's got both.
I've seen Van Camp look confused before, but yes, never quite like this.
You got all that?
No, it's hard.
So you just have like a wound underneath the wedding tackle here?
Well, it's called a vagina.
No, but it's not one.
Maybe you should change the vaginas.
So you have a vagina and a phallus? So you never leave the house?
A pegina? I don't know.
I don't know what you call that.
I don't either.
Lives a TikTok, by the way.
Yeah.
Found another trans woman who wanted to be the first to have an abortion.
Oh, boy.
I want to be the first trans woman to have an abortion. Okay. Let the celebration continue for the entire month, right? There you go.
Okay, the Scott Robbins trifecta, top three of the day. Thank you, Scott. I think.
By having both.
Yeah, wow.
Thank you.
They actually call that the tubing. I don't know if you knew.
Okay, we need some real change in this country. I mean some real change back. News update, Nimrods of the News, straight ahead right here. Goodbye. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
Well, there's still some wrangling going on right now, but in the House of Representatives, there is an effort to oust Kevin McCarthy as the Speaker of the House, being led initially by Matt Gaetz, a Republican, who wanted a Republican Speaker of the House to be removed. Democrats have decided to join in that effort, which means because of the narrow majority the Republicans have in the House of Representatives, McCarthy appears to be toast. So the first vote was what they're calling a motion to table, which would mean, you know, hey, if enough people vote yes on this, they would table that, so it wouldn't go forward today. Well, it's full steam ahead. They're going to have an hour of debate now, and then a vote roughly in an hour, as I understand it, the real one, to see if they're going to oust Kevin McCarthy.
Wow. So he's toast.
Maybe. I don't know. Democrats may be playing this game right now to try to get more leverage now on Kevin McCarthy and then turn around and vote present, in which case then Kevin McCarthy is safe. So I don't know what they'll wind up doing. This does seem like it's yet another victory for the Democrats in the end.
Does Gaetz want this gig?
I don't really. Here's the thing. Oh, sorry. We got to go. I don't know what Gaetz really wants in the end.
It's hard to say. And it's hard to trust any of these people.
Yeah.
All right. We got to get to Nimrod. Roll.
When the going gets tough.
Damn it. This is too hard.
The dumb get dumber.
All right, Dan.
It's Nimrods in the News on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
I love the poorly educated.
All right. Florida we go. Nimrods in the News. 48-year-old Keisha Henderson. She's got a long rap sheet, 39 felonies, 5 stints in jail. She and another woman, 33-year-old Kiara Tolliver, robbed this little old lady at Walmart, 45 miles north of Tampa. They distracted her, stole her wallet, ran up her credit cards. They go back to the Walmart the very next day where the cops are. And there was a fight, there was pepper spray. She pepper sprayed a cop. They finally got her subdued. They're in a lot of trouble. And that's Nimrod's in the News.